Today we are in Matthew chapter 22. We're going to start out in verse 1. This is the parable Jesus shared of the wedding banquet. This is part 1. Next week will be part 2. This one's more on skipping the party and getting invited. Next week it'll be about appropriately being dressed for the party. Starting out in verse 1, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite all those you can, everyone you can find, invite them to the banquet.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests." Let's pray. God, we do ask for a miracle today, that we can have the miracle of speech as I prepare your message here today, and also the miracle of hearing. God, only you can speak to someone's heart and speak into their life. I can't do that. We ask that you would do that today for all of us here, and that we could have a closer walk with you, or even a beginning walk with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start out looking at, I want you to think of the most expensive, most extravagant party that you ever got invited to. Most extravagant party you ever got invited, maybe a wedding party, like in the story parable today. So I want you to do two things. Think of that, but also try to estimate how much that wedding or that party cost. You know, real quick, I know for those of us in here who have already paid for a wedding, maybe you had a daughter and you prayed and thanked God you don't have 10 daughters, right? But now, you probably already know the cost that you spent on one or two weddings or so. But I want you just to think of that wedding you got invited to, or that party you got invited to, and how much it would have cost, the most extravagant, expensive one you've ever been to. All right. So I did a little bit of work. It wasn't too much work. I hit a button on Google and tried to find an accurate top 10 for the most expensive parties of all time. Actually, at least the relative history, past 50 years, 100 years or so. All right, first one was a wedding. And we had two important people there. Actually, more people, I guess, important, I shouldn't say that, maybe famous people. There were two people there in the wedding party. Michael Jackson was the best man. Elizabeth Taylor was the maid of honor. Anybody know whose wedding this might have been? David Guest and Liza Minnelli. After paying for a 60-piece orchestra, I know all the teens are like, "Who's that?" Right? But anyhow, after paying for a 60-piece orchestra and having performers like Tony Bennett, Stevie Wonder, and Natalie Cole performing at their wedding, the total cost was $3.5 million. How'd you like to pay that for your daughter's wedding or whatnot? Next was the next most expensive that I'll share is the wedding of Chelsea Clinton. After paying for air-conditioned tents for over 500 guests, an $11,000 cake, and a Vera Wang dress, the total cost here was $5 million. We're climbing here. Next party I'll share is, it's not a wedding, but actually it's a grand opening of the Atlantis Hotel in, who wants to guess where it was? Dubai. in Dubai. It sits on top of Dubai's man-made island called Palm Island. There were 2,000 celebrities there that attended, and they had fireworks that were 7 times larger than those at the Olympics in Beijing. Total cost for this was $31 million. Next is another wedding. This is one of royalty. I should give a clue right there. Now, before Harry met Meghan, William met Kate, right? And just the security alone at William and Kate's wedding cost $32 million, just the security. But the total cost were just $34 million. And then the very top one on the list is another royal wedding, which, as you probably know, as the wedding of the what? The wedding of the century. The wedding of Charles and Prince Charles and Diana. This involved a lot of security as well, and maybe they had security for each of their 27 cakes. The 27 cakes there. This took place back in 1981. And back then, it was really $45 million. That's what it cost for the wedding. But if you estimate what it would have cost today, it would be $110 million. Now, I share all that just so we can imagine. Imagine if you got invited to one of those parties, one of those extravagant, terribly expensive parties. What would you do with the invitation? Would you throw it away? Amen. Would you say, oh, I'm too busy, I can't go? Huh? What if it was your cousin or something? Would you throw it away? Say, I'm too busy, I can't make it. Today we look at a party. We look at a party, which is no doubt the greatest party of all time. And also, yet, the most rejected party of all time. The wedding party, the wedding feast of the Lamb. Jesus speaks of a parable showing how the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sends out servants, tells them to invite those who are on the list, and they refuse. Now, Jesus is clearly speaking here. He was clearly speaking back then to the Jewish contemporaries of his day that rejected him as Messiah and rejected him as the Son of God. In this parable, the king is, as you probably expect, is the God the Father. His son, Jesus, the servants are the Old Testament prophets and disciples, and then the banquet is obviously the kingdom of heaven, an eternal party. Now, Jesus knew full well that this in his day, when someone had a banquet, whether it be a regular banquet or a wedding banquet, there would be two invitations, two announcements of the wedding. The first one was just kind of a general announcement. Hey, there's going to be a wedding, or there's going to be a banquet. Make sure you look out for it, all right? Just giving a fair warning as a general announcement. And then, you know, once the list was made out, once the band was taken care of, once we got a DJ, whatever you have at the party, food's hot and ready, then the second announcement went out. It's ready. The wedding, the banquet, it's ready to go. So that's the second, that would be the second announcement, second invitation, if you will. Now, looking at the parable, we see this. We see two announcements, two invitations. The first one were by the servants, which were who? The Old Testament prophets. God's Old Testament prophets announcing the kingdom of God. But the Jews, the original hearers, rejected that invitation. And so the second invitation came. And who brought that? Jesus. Jesus was the second invitation. He brought it. He said, and that's why he says in his ministry, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's really close, right here, all right? So he was the very second announcement and invitation. Now, to reject in that day, if you not just to reject like a wedding invitation, but a wedding invitation from a king. If you did that, that was terrible disrespect to that king, and it could cost you your life. And even though these guys didn't know it, but the Jesus' Jewish contemporaries, he was telling them, yes, you're terribly disrespecting God. You're disrespecting the Father by not accepting me as the Messiah, as the Son of God. And he says, you know, what happens is the king, he's enraged, right? He gets enraged because they killed his son, right? Killed his son, but also it says they killed his servants, some of his servants. They were mistreated. Some of his prophets were mistreated. And you remember John the Baptist, what happened to him, right? Got his head cut off. He was killed. So some of them even got killed. And the king was enraged, and it says he burned the city. Those murderers, he burned their city. And this actually happened. This happened when Rome came in a few centuries later, right, and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, burned it to the ground. Now we see what this parable meant back in Jesus' day. We see what it meant back in Jesus' day for the Jews, the original hearers, who skipped the party. But what does it mean for us today? That's what's most important. What does it mean for you and for me? You didn't get up this morning just to hear from some guy give you a history lesson, right? You want to hear something that's going to apply to your life. What does it mean for us? Well, you may not know, but in this story, there are some first responders. First responders, we think of, right, those brave men and women that go out at a scene of an accident or a scene of an emergency, and they run to it, not from it. I automatically think of 9/11, right? Those pictures you see of first responders running to the flames while everybody else is running away. So there's these first responders that ran to the flames. Well, in this story, we see some people that were expected to be first responders, the first responders to the invitations of God. Now, I know most of us, when we get an RSVP, what do we do with it? Do we respond? Hey, if you guys don't know, that's a French word, right? RSVP. Does anybody know what it is, how to say it? Thank you, Kathy. Répondez, s'il vous plaît. That means, please respond. Please respond. Now, if you're like me, you probably didn't respond when you got a lot of RSVPs. Or I know from our wedding, Christina and I's, we didn't have very many responses. We had people come, of course, but not many people responded to the RSVPs. Well, the guys in this story who were expected to be the first responders, they didn't respond, as we saw. As God's chosen people and the ones that were familiar with the Word of God. And some of them, they had to know the whole first five books of the Bible by the age 12. So a lot of these guys, they knew the Bible. And these are the ones that were expected to be able to recognize God. And they couldn't do it. Jesus was standing right before him. And right before their very eyes, and they couldn't recognize him as Son of God. And that's kind of a warning for us too. We can get very familiar with our Bibles and be far from God. Now, the Bible is not just supposed to give us information, right? But transformation. If you let us transform us, then we'll see more and draw closer, nearer to Jesus. Well, these guys, like I said, they did not respond. They, even though they were the expected ones, they didn't. So the good news is God invited others, right? And that's what those are the Gentiles, those that were not the non-Jews, that were not expected to be responders, to be able to even see an invitation. See, many of us, we look and we think of our past. We think, oh, because of all I've done against God and I've sinned against him, there's no way he could forgive me. No way he could forgive me. And for us that are believers here, maybe no way that he could use me after what I've done. But let me remind you, no matter what your past is, God wants you and he wants to use you. He wants to save you and he wants to use you. Remember the Gentile woman who was a former prostitute, right? Poured out everything to Jesus. And what did he say about her? Those that have been forgiven much, love much. So you might think, oh, I have a terrible past. Well, guess what? If you come to Jesus, you might be one of the ones that are serving him more than anybody else. So don't let your past stop you from knowing God and making him known. So the good news is, like I said, God went out to the street corners. He went to those that didn't think they could ever be on the list, that didn't think they would ever get an invitation. And I'm here to say today, you're on it. Everyone is on it. We have to respond. No matter how dusty that RSVP got, maybe you heard the gospel a long time ago for the first time, and you just put it off to the side and just put it off and procrastinated like us good humans do, right? No matter how dusty it is, you can take it out and you can respond. There's still time to respond and make it into the party. Next point, to be invited to the wedding banquet is to be invited to joy. It's to be invited to joy. Now, the devil likes to make us think, and a lot of times we like to think on our own, that coming to God, that we're going to lose out on a lot. Kind of like Adam and Eve, right? How the serpent tempted them. Oh, God's withholding something from you, right? If you don't eat that, if you don't partake in that what the world's partaking in, you're going to lose something. Now, actually, they lost a lot. They lost their relationship with God when they ate of the fruit, of the forbidden fruit. So we think of coming to God, it's like a prison sentence. No way. It's not a prison sentence. You're being set free from a prison sentence. Last time I checked, sin is a terrible master, and it leads to eternal death. It might look good and tasty at first, but it leads to eternal death. Like I've shared before, sin is pleasing. Yes, there's a pleasure to it. It is pleasing, but it is passing. The pleasures of sin, there's a pleasure to it, but it has an expiration date. On the other side, the things of God do not. They last forever. And if you remember Hebrews 11, Moses, he left the pleasures of sin to be mistreated with the people of God. So it shows there is a pleasure. The Bible says there's a pleasure, but it just lasts for a moment. It's temporary. Now, many take the bait. Many of us take the bait, and we forfeit the best. We forfeit the best. I like what J. Vernon McGee says. I shared this, I think, a couple years ago. Speaking of those that just want to do their own things, we know that the narrow road that leads to eternal life, it's narrow. But the other road that leads to eternal death is what? Broad, and many find it. You don't have to work hard to find that broad road and get on it and follow the world, right? But J. Vernon McGee shares it like as a funnel. The broad road starts out really wide. A lot of people are on it, but it all narrows down to one thing: eternal death and separation from God. Joy wiped out. But on the other hand, following God and his kingdom, it might start out hard. It's a hard road to start out. Real narrow, because you got to turn, it's a whole new lifestyle. That's scary. Whole new lifestyle and whole new management. God's your manager, not you anymore, or sin. But you go, it starts out real narrow. It's like an upside down funnel, but you're going up the funnel, right? Starts out real narrow, but following God just gets greater and greater. Your knowledge of God just grows and grows and grows, and if you're doing it right, the joy of the Lord grows. So it's not a burden to follow God, but it's a blessing. It's joy. Now, if you see the parables that just precede this one that Jesus shared, they're talking about work, talking about a vineyard, workers in a vineyard, and doing work for God. This doesn't sound very fun, really, right? But it also, on the other side of it, is joy. Serving the Lord might be hard, but there's the other side of it. There's the joy that follows. And I'll say, it's not a dishonorable thing to follow God for joy. We might think, oh, I just want to do it for his name's sake, for his glory, for his honor. That's fine, but it's not a dishonorable thing to do it for the joy of the Lord. Why? Well, if it was, then I guess Jesus did for the wrong reasons, didn't he? I guess he went to the cross for the wrong reasons, because it says, Hebrews 12:2, for the what set before him? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The joy set before him, he endured the cross. He wanted the joy of seeing us have an opportunity to even see an invitation. You can't reject one if you don't even see one, right? He wanted us to have the, at least have the opportunity to see an invitation into the kingdom of heaven, to enter not by our merit, but by what he did, the full price he paid on the cross. The joy of seeing us with him, knowing him forever, and him knowing us. That joy set before him and helped him endure the cross. And so for us, it's not a bad thing to say for the joy of the Lord. It's not a bad motivator for us to endure, to continue. Now, I want to ask you, just please share, write this one down or think about it. What is it? What's the one thing, maybe other, maybe multiple things, but what is it? What must you endure more in the present to enjoy God more in the future? What is it you must endure more now in the present in order to enjoy God more in the future? Whether it's the first time committing yourself to him, or it's a whole new invitation of God leading you into another place of servanthood or another place of trust, trusting him, what is it that you might have to endure or go pass through some fear to get through to know more joy of the Lord? C.S. Lewis, he wrote a book, it's called Surprised by Joy. Surprised by Joy. And he says in it, joy is not something found in seeking solely after joy. Joy is something found after solely seeking after Jesus and being surprised by it. Being surprised by it. And the devil knows, and those that know our Bibles as well, we know what is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord. And I'll tell you right now, you can quote every scripture to me. You can explain every doctrine, Christian doctrine to me. And if I don't see joy on your face, I'm not buying what you're selling. If I don't see joy, the joy of the Lord, I don't care how much you know about the Bible, how much you know about your Christian doctrine, I'm not gonna waste my time listening to you. If you don't have joy, it's gonna make me question. Like I've said before, if there's no joy in the servant, there's no glory to the Father. So what else can we get out of this parable today? Well, the good news is it's more good news. More good news. If you notice, when the king sent out that second invitation, announcing the banquet is ready, everything's ready, the kingdom is ready, kingdom of God is ready, he says, I have prepared my dinner. Everything's ready. He did it. So the good news is it's not us that prepared it. He did all the work. We just respond. We respond to the invitation. That's whether you're a first time follow him, or if you're nervous about God calling you to do something. He's already taken care of what you need to do. Where God guides, he what? He provides. Where God guides, he provides. But as we see, he prepared everything in advance. Like a good shepherd that goes ahead of his sheep. He prepared everything in advance, and was right there in Jesus. And you might be thinking today, I need to clean up my act to come to God. Nothing could be further than the truth. To earn grace. You cannot earn grace. It is a gift. We don't work for grace. We work from grace. We respond to the invitation, and then that leads us to want to do good works for God. Not to try to earn our salvation, but I would say, as we do those good works, it helps us keep our joy. It's an invitation to joy. Well, during our opening illustration, with all those extravagant weddings and all those expensive parties, a lot was paid for those parties. Extremely high costs that just make us laugh in a way. But we right here, God paid for the greatest wedding ever. He paid the highest price. He paid it all. Jesus gave his life. No one's going to pay more for a party than Jesus did, for the eternal party in heaven. He paid his life. Are you willing to pay your life for a party? He paid his life for the party. And I don't know who gave this one, but I'm just going to share it. Grace is not free. Grace, I'm sorry. Grace is free, but not cheap. Grace is free to us, but it's not cheap. It costs God himself. It costs Jesus his life. You weren't invited to a party on the cheap. You weren't just given some, you know, invited to a party with some Chex Mix and some Pepsi and a little bit of cake. This cost Jesus his life. And if you don't attend, if you don't respond to that invitation, it's an insult to God. Whether you like it or not, it's an insult to God. Now, although this is as ridiculous as it may sound, and I might offend somebody in here, it's not hard to do that, by the way. U.S., when you have the microphone, you can offend people. U.S. weddings, on average, cost $30,000. $30,000 for the average U.S. wedding. That means people are spending more, right? As a quick aside, let me just share you guys some money. You don't have to spend $30,000 to establish a covenant, a marriage covenant. Put the money towards the structuring of the marriage, towards giving, supporting the marriage, than the wedding. And I'll tell you, those weddings we looked at, big thing they had in common, a lot of men in divorce. Spent a lot of money for a ceremony, but it ended in divorce. Put your money towards the marriage more than the day to celebrate. Now, I'm not saying, don't go cheap on the wedding. We should show that it's important, right? But you don't have to spend $30,000 to do it. You can give some to Eden Ministries. They would surely use it to help at-risk kids find the Lord. All right, so man, I just want to say, imagine if you're one of those people that spent $30,000 on a wedding. $30,000 on your child's wedding, or maybe your own, and you invited, let's say, 500-some people, and 15 people show up. You spent so much on a party, and you just had a few people show up, and you hear crickets. How would you feel? Oh, Jesus, as we know, he paid so much, and so many don't respond. He paid it all for the greatest party ever, knowing to know God forever and be separate from sin and death forever. And so many pass on it. Why would you pass on such joy forever? Well, Jesus tells us in the parable how it happens. How does it happen? Well, I think we often think of those that say, oh, I'm never going to follow you, God, and they shake their fist belligerently saying and defying God and his way. But I believe the majority are like those in the parable who said one went to his field, the other went to his business. It wasn't terribly evil in itself. We are to have jobs, businesses, and use them for the glory of God and work our hardest for the glory of God. Having a business is not inherently evil, right? Or working hard, it's not inherently evil. But if you're too busy for God, if it leads you to be too busy for God, it is evil. It has become evil. See, we should never, the gift should never outplace the giver. It's interesting in this, don't miss this detail, it says, went off to his business. Showing that, saying it was his possession. Forgot that it was a gift from God. It wasn't a gift from God anymore. So the gift replaced the giver. And when that does, you can expect the joy to quickly leave. So I ask you, where are your priorities? Priorities, kingdom of God? Is the gift starting to replace the giver? We always have to ask ourselves that, because it can easily happen. It happens a lot. So many miss out on joy because just too busy. I don't have time for you, God. Well, to close, know that God, in his amazing grace, he's prepared a party, the dinner party, and offers joy everlasting. Are you going to skip the party? The best and most expensive party of all time? Jesus echoes in his word, come unto me. He says, come. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for making preparations for us to know you forever, to enjoy you, not endure you forever, enjoy you forever. We thank you that you've sent your son Jesus to die for us and pay the penalty for our sins, that we don't have to earn our way to you. We just respond to the invitation and we trust and follow you. We thank you for that opportunity, and I pray for anyone in here that has not made that choice, that you would work in their hearts, that they would respond to that such a great invitation. Stop swimming in a puddle and swim in that vast ocean that you have for those that follow you. Thank you for being such a good God who forgives us of our sins and our past and leads us to eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray.